It's time to invite all the children to come down front for our time together. They saw me coming up here and they thought about running for the back. I know. Come on up here. I know I'm not Mr. Jeff, but I'm the second string. How's everybody doing this morning? We're going to hear a scripture reading in just a minute. Pastor Kathy's going to read a story from Jeremiah. And it talks about when Jeremiah was called to be a prophet, when he was just a little boy. And so I wanted to just share with you a story about another little boy who was called by God. And I want to read from my very first book. This is the first book I ever wrote. And I want you to look at it. I have to put it in plastic to keep it from disintegrating. It's, see the brown string there? And this discolored construction paper with ragged edges. And the lined paper with like half-inch lines. And it's... The title of this book is All About Me by Andy W. I had to do this when I was in the third grade. I know it was the third grade because it's done in cursive writing, and that's when we learned to do that. So anyway, this is the book where when I was 8 years old, I had to write in school my life story. Yeah? And so here it is. See, so I'll just read a little bit of it to you. It says, my name is Andy. I was born in Atlanta, Georgia. I weigh 57 pounds. I'm 8 years old, and I'm 4 feet 5 inches tall. And then it goes on. Oh, it says, and my phone number is, and this is going to get you. The phone number was WH24257, okay? Yeah, strange phone numbers. And then it gives my address and just goes on and on and on. And then the next page, oh, look at that. This is my hand. I drew a picture of my hand. Well, you know, have you ever traced your hand on a piece of paper? I must have been wearing a little ring because I put a ring on my hand. And I had a watch on, and it even has Timex written in there. Okay. And then it says, I like to look at football games and play football. And so, yeah, they actually had color photographs then. And so here are pictures of a football game, because that's what I like to do when I was 8 years old. And then it says, this is what I want to be when I grow up. And this is the part I really want to share with you. I would like to be a preacher. Because I want to tell people about Jesus and how He died on the cross to save us from our sins and how God made everything in the world. God loves us and wants us to tell others about God, and God wants us to read our Bible every day. And then there's a picture of a preacher there. Hey, I was only 8 years old. How many of you are eight? Nine? Seven? Ten? Older? Okay. Well, can you remember when you were 8 years old? Yeah. Anyway, the rest of this story is I didn't become a preacher until I was 40. I'm a slow learner. Yeah, it took me... It only took me 32 years to actually do it. So I'm sharing this with you because I want you to know that God works in our lives, our entire life. It's not something you have to wait until you grow up. If you're listening and you're paying attention to the world around you and to the people in your lives, you just may be surprised at what somebody might be telling you. Let's have a prayer. Dear God, we thank You that You are in our lives all the time. From the minute we're born, You are with us. You love us. You hold us in that love. And we thank You. Amen. All right.
Our first scripture lesson today is from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Oh, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you," says the Lord. Then the Lord put out His hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put My words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God."
So I'm going to start off reading you a little something else that I wrote a few years after the book I just read to the kids. And in this book, I actually share a little about the book, all about me, and describe about being experienced in this call when I was 8 years old. That said, I would like to be a preacher because I want to tell people about Jesus. And then I wrote, after pastoring, preaching, and teaching for over 20 years, one day, I picked up that tattered construction paper booklet, and the words, "Tell people about Jesus," spoke to me anew. The Jesus I have discovered and want to tell people about is not the Jesus of my childhood, who had to die to save me and the world from eternal damnation, but rather a flesh and blood person who lived a divinely infused life that leads us to discover, experience, and live the divine in our lives. And He does this by being fully human. This is my homiletic call to explore and try to experience the story of Jesus in a way that is real to each and every one of us. Not a story of Jesus that puts Jesus out in an ethereal hinterland, a place that we all hope we will go when we die. This is a Jesus that was invented by the church that grew out of Jesus' teachings. This is a Jesus that doesn't exist in the Gospels of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible is a real flesh and blood human being who, when we read the story honestly, we discover he discovers who he is along the story. He discovers the presence of God in his own life in ways that show us how we discover the presence of God in ours. And these stories that we are reading right now in the Gospel of Luke are perfect examples of this. In the fourth chapter of Luke, where we are and will be for a couple of weeks, Jesus is a real person. Last week, Jesus went to the synagogue where he grew up. And they gave him a scroll and they said, "Here, read." And he picks up the scroll and he reads from the prophet Isaiah. And after he reads from the prophet Isaiah, he says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian.' And when they heard this, all the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, they drove him out of town. They led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed away through the midst of them and went on his way. For the Word in creation, for the Word in Scripture, for the Word within us. Thanks be to God." That was quite a reception Jesus had, wasn't it? He reads the prophet Isaiah from the scroll, proclaims to them that what you have just heard is real, right here, right now. And what had they just heard? They had just heard that he had come to proclaim good news to the poor. And that good news was release to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to free oppressed people. That's the good news. And they were amazed. It says, they spoke well of him and were amazed at his gracious words. And I can just nearly imagine what Jesus was thinking at that time. He was thinking, they didn't listen to a single word I said. Because everything I just said disrupts their lives. And now they're talking about how wonderful it was for me to come back and talk to my hometown. The reason I think Jesus was thinking this is because of what Jesus does immediately. Jesus doesn't say, "Oh, well, thank you very much. Yes, that prophet Isaiah, he's something else, isn't he?" No. Jesus immediately becomes confrontational with the people in synagogue. Between the lines, you can hear Jesus nearly saying, "You didn't hear a word I said. You didn't hear a word Isaiah said." And you know why I know that? It's because in the time of Elijah, when there was a great famine in the land and people were suffering, God called Elijah to go relieve the suffering of a foreigner. That's right. The widow of Sephareth. Sephareth is a foreign country. It wasn't part of the Jewish nation. And that's where Elijah was called. And Elijah was called to relieve the suffering of this widow and her son. And he says, and you know, another reason I know that you didn't hear a word I said is because in the time of Elisha, there were lepers, many lepers within Israel. But God spoke to a Syrian, a foreigner, Naaman. And Naaman comes to Elisha and he is healed. What Jesus is telling them is that they are not paying attention to their own scriptures. It's the exact same thing we do. We come and go to church as Christians, as Jews, I would say as Muslims. We hear our holy scriptures. We go through our liturgies, and it goes in one ear and out the other, and then we go live the way we want to. Many of us come to church simply to have our lifestyle made proper. We just want our lifestyle reinforced. We want to just keep living the way we're living and come to church and have somebody tell us that it's okay. And that's what Jesus is sensing with everyone he encounters in the synagogues. He keeps telling them, the kingdom is here now. This is a kingdom, it's nothing new. Isaiah was preaching it. Elijah was preaching it. Elisha was preaching it. Jesus is a Bible teacher. That's what he's giving these people, a Bible lesson. And he's saying, Isaiah, Elijah, Elisha taught liberation, healing, and resurrection. And Jesus places himself in this same prophetic line. knowing what the result will be. Today we call it speaking truth to power. That's what Jesus does. And he speaks the good news of the gospel, which is liberation, healing, resurrection. It's nothing new, but Jesus, in some way, makes it so real that it scares the daylights out of those people. And they have to get rid of him. This is the real Jesus. This is not a Jesus that has been invented by imperial powers in order to soothe the savage soul. This is a Jesus who comes into our lives and proclaims justice and peace and mercy and forgiveness. And this is the Jesus that we need to be proclaiming. The Jesus that shines, as the song says, but shines in our faces. And shines in our faces because we are reaching out to the poor and the oppressed and the forgotten. We aren't building walls to shut them out. We aren't creating legislation to push them down. We aren't going about our lives ignoring. We are engaged in the gospel. We're going to have the Lord's Supper here in just a minute, where we come and we take a piece of bread and we have a little drink of juice. We've even domesticated the Lord's Supper. We can't have wine, we have grape juice. But we're going to come here and we're going to remember who we are. And even this story that Jesus, about Jesus, is a sacramental story. Because it's a story about Elijah practicing the Lord's Supper. Go to 1 Kings chapter 17. You can read the story. What Elijah does is he comes to this woman and her son who's starving and brings them bread. It's a sacramental story. Go read the story of Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5. It's a sacramental story. If Naaman is to be healed of leprosy, he has to go bathe in the Jordan. It's a story of baptism. So you see, the Lord's Supper, baptism, are nothing new. And so we come to our sacraments, sometimes realizing, sometimes not, that they are much broader and deeper than we can even imagine. And it's all right now. Today, this comes to pass. Amen. My friends, we are called to be the church of Jesus Christ. And if we're going to be the church of Jesus, don't you think we ought to pay attention to what He tells us? One little phrase in the hymn caught my imagination this morning. Give us the faith of Jesus. Not faith in Jesus. Give us the faith of Jesus. And if we can begin to look at our scriptures and discover that Jesus is not an escape plan for mistakes that God made, that Jesus is giving us a blueprint for an occupation of earth. This is how to live the kingdom here and now. And the rest of that will take care of itself. Let us go from this place into the wider place and share the good news of the gospel. Amen.